Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University, found at www.directionsu.com. I'm coming to you live today from Las Vegas, Nevada, as we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com on the air with me. Ms. Rhonda, how are you this morning?
Hey, I am doing just great, calling from beautiful Branson. And the rooster just crowed, but he wandered off, so I guess he's not going to sing to us this morning, but it's a great
Oh, that meanie?
Yeah, hey, come on back, dude, come on and sing.
Yeah. I am having such a hard time getting used to wonderful Pacific time. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't do mornings, you know.
I know. I was really have been thinking about you. You don't do mornings, and then when you do your workshop this weekend, you're going to be so, I have to be ahead of the game, and you're not used to mornings.
Well, and you know, the worst part is, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, my first call is at 9 a.m. Eastern. That's very early Pacific Coast time, and like this morning I'm getting up, but it's still dark outside, and the moon is big, and I'm like, oh, I should still be in bed.
That's right. We should be sleeping.
Yes, not fun. But hey, I'll get used to it within a week, I'm sure.
You will. You'll get there. It's just hard for those first few days, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's a week tomorrow, so we're getting that. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today? And who's our guest, Miss Rhonda?
Well, you are our guest.
And what will we be talking about?
We will be talking about the power of mindset. And you, of course, have a workshop coming up this weekend. And it's, you know, it's really an important time of the year. Any time is important to talk about mindset. But you think about, we're coming into a season that tends to be especially scatterbrained for people. As we're recording this, we're coming into the holiday season. And my experience is a lot of people seem to just sort of take the entire month of December off, even though there's only, you know, two or three holidays during that month, and just sort of let everything go and then scramble around and don't have their head on right and then wonder why it is that they're not getting results and not getting successful and all of those kinds of things. And so, you know, the whole area of mindset, to me, it's foundational. I mean, anything else needs to have that conversation after the piece about mindset. So as we're coming into a holiday season or any time that you're listening to this, it's a great time to really stop and take stock and take a look at your mindset. Wouldn't you agree?
I most certainly would. You've heard me say this before, and it bears saying again, that, you know, I've seen people who do everything perfect, but they don't have a true abundant success-oriented mindset, and they don't get the kind of results that they're looking for. And yet I've also seen people who really have a true, abundant, success-oriented mindset, who do everything wrong, and they get results anyway. And the difference really is in the mindset. If you can get the mindset piece down, you will get results every time. And that's the key. You've got to make sure you get the mindset down, because it is going to bring you the results that you're looking for.
Absolutely. And there, the way that you teach everything is about a system.
Absolutely.
So let's say that somebody is going, all right, I'm feeling really frustrated. I've been learning about traffic and list building and this and that and the other thing, and I'm just not getting where I want to be. What would you say to that kind of a person, and how would you get them started on the right system to help get their mindset going in the right direction?
Well, it is quite truly a matter of don't go looking at the list building stuff. Go back to basics. You really want to start your business out on a solid foundation. And mindset is the most basic foundational element in building a business. Before you go and look at anything else, before you look at what niche you want to be in, before you look at how to put up a website, before you look at how to build a list or how to drive traffic, you've got to start with the basics, and mindset is the most basic element. And as you said, it really does require having a system. I've done a number of what I call weekend workshops where I have webinars that I hold all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and the point of them is to teach some part of a system. I've had the traffic systems workshop and the blog systems workshop and the joint venture systems workshop and the info product systems workshop. And this weekend, we're going to be talking about the mindset systems workshop, because there is a system for mindset. And you need a system for every element in your business. This is one of two last workshops that I'm going to be holding. This one's on mindset. It really should have come first. I saved it for last because, you know, the best is always saved for last, right?
Yeah, of course.
There's one last piece that'll come probably the end of January, beginning of February. I haven't set the date for it yet. And that one will tie all of the pieces together. And it's going to be one of those workshops where it's going to be really fast-paced. And if you haven't been through all of the other ones, it's going to make a little bit of a challenge keeping up, I'm sure. But what the whole reason for me doing all of these weekend workshops is I wanted to create a product that would be completely comprehensive, that would have all of the elements necessary to build a successful business. Rather than try and do that in one sitting, because it would be way too overwhelming to do in one sitting, I did it through a series of weekend workshops, all of which got turned into products, all of which are available in the courses area of directionsu.com. So if you want just one part of it, you can go and buy any one workshop in a downloadable format. Once I've finished the last one end of January, beginning of February, it will be turned into a home study course, and it will actually be sold in a physical format with CDs and DVDs. We've got videos for every one of the workshops. Most of the workshops are anywhere from 16 to 22 hours.
Right.
And there are audios, there are videos, there are additional supplemental materials like checklists and flowcharts and worksheets, and many of them I've created workbooks for that you can follow one single step at a time. And by the time we put this out as a home study course, it will be one comprehensive program that you can follow one step at a time, starting with this foundational element of mindset.
And so that's really brilliant.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a terrific way to put the program and the system together. And even though in a way the last shall be first, I guess we could say, in a way.
Exactly.
So having been to all of the other workshops, I can really definitely say this is going to be fabulous. I have plenty of past experience to know you do a very top-notch job of putting together the programs in a way so that people have all of the material. So you any checklists or flowcharts that you do on the calls or whatever, people get all those materials so that the visual learners, the auditory learners, all of those different types of people can have the material in ways that will support their learning, and that really makes it excellent. So I know it's going to be a jam-packed weekend for everybody who participates in the workshop.
Well, and this weekend I am really excited about in particular. one of the people that I call my mentor, and there are only two people that I claim as my mentors. They are Kevin Nations and Stephanie Frank. Kevin Nations is the big ticket mentor. He teaches people a system for selling high ticket products. Stephanie Frank is the founder of SuccessIQU.com. That's Success IQ University. And they're the only two I call my mentors. Stephanie is also a good friend, and she and I work together on a weekly basis. We meet every single week. I coach her. She coaches me. Stephanie has agreed to be on this weekend's workshop.
Oh, Stephanie, my God, she is awesome.
Isn't she amazing?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just like, oh, my gosh, she is one of my very favorite people in the whole world. I have not taken mentoring from her yet, but I definitely will be. She is amazing.
Well, let me put it this way. What I spent to coach with Stephanie has brought me probably one or two zeros after what I paid. It was literally like a drop in the bucket compared to what she's done for me. Stephanie has revolutionized my life, not just my business, but my entire life. She was able, in a three-day period, to save me over 60 hours a month. In the 30 days after working with her, I got as much done in those 30 days as I had gotten done in 9 months prior, which is just incredible.
That is incredible.
Going forward, this was in end of April that Stephanie and I got together for three solid days. And all we did for 3 days was work together on my stuff. Since then, I have been able to go from working 7 days a week to working 4 to 5 days a week so that I could actually enjoy life a little bit more, which was a really nice thing, while making even more money than I was making before, which is an even better thing.
That's always good.
Probably the biggest thing that came out of working with Stephanie was that I now know where my strengths are, and using some key things that she taught me, I can easily look at any individual and read them as a person to figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are so that I can use different areas of my skill set to better communicate with them so that I can get along with people better. Even my husband and I get along better because of the things that I learned from Stephanie. It is the most incredible thing in the world to know how to do that. And that's what Stephanie's going to come on and teach us.
Oh, wow. That, you know, that alone, that could save partnerships, it could save marriages, it could save families, it, you know, all kinds of things just from that piece of being able to get a good read on someone and be able to communicate in the way that they will be able to receive and understand and open those lines. That's awesome.
And let me tell you, this piece, I don't believe Stephanie teaches for less than $5,000. And yet, coming on this weekend, you're going to be able to get a 90-minute segment of it. She's even agreed to make sure that there's some testing and things that you're going to want to take so you can better understand your personality style and values. She's even going to make that available to folks from this weekend, too.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, I am more excited about this weekend than any of my other weekend workshops, just because of that one piece.
You know, she and I served on a panel together at one of Ken MacArthur's events, and we're kind of going over somebody's business, a hot seat panel is what he calls it, and the comment that the people who were in the hot seat had made, and I just made a quick comment to Stephanie, and one sentence that she said back to me, I just felt like my head had been cracked wide open, and whew, it was like, wow. It's just one sentence, so imagine 90 minutes is going to be great.
I'm telling you, she talks faster than just about anybody else I know. So people are going to need the recordings to go back and take notes, because you're not going to keep up with as fast as Stephanie can talk, I promise you that. what she could cram into 90 minutes is probably something that could take me 6 to 8 hours to do, because she can get so, every word that comes out of her mouth has value. There's no other way to say it.
That's true. That's definitely true.
I have sent a number of my students to her in a couple of her different programs, and those students have made more progress than anybody else that I've ever taught. And it's really because they've got this piece. And this is a piece that you don't hear very many people talking about. That's what Success IQ University is all about. It's about, her motto is happy people everywhere. And it's about living a happier life because you can, not because of anything else, but because you can. And when you know, when you understand what your values are, and every one of us have values that are ingrained, that are part of us, that if we violate those values, it will physically make us ill. Very few of us are fortunate and blessed enough to actually understand what our values really are at that level. Stephanie has some testing that she can offer. It's not like it's expensive or anything. She's going to make it available on this weekend's call. She's got these tests that will clearly show you exactly what your values are. And when you understand what value you place in different arenas, you can then make choices better. You can do things that are congruent with your values, and it will make you happier just because you are doing things in the order of your values. We learned from my testing that one of my highest values is being appreciated. Because that's one of my highest values, if I'm told often that people appreciate me, it makes me want to do more. I have so much energy just hearing that I'm appreciated. My husband now has a new thing that he has to do because of this. Every day he has to tell me at least twice that he appreciates me. And let me tell you, that's enough energy for me to go through my entire day with no sleep just by hearing that I'm appreciated. And it's weird that that kind of thing exists, but it happens for every one of us. There are lots of different things that you might value. For someone else, it might be valuing honesty. For someone else, it might be valuing friendship. Whatever that value is that's your highest core value, it needs to be reinforced on an ongoing basis because it will make you more productive. When you can then also understand which of the four personality types is your strength, or in my case, all four are strong suits for me. So I can flip-flop going from one personality style to another. Knowing that allows me to organize my day much more productively, and I can work much more efficiently. By knowing what keywords to look for in other people, I can see what their personality style is. And if I see someone who really values working with other people, I wouldn't go to that person and say, hey, I want you to do this because you're going to be independent. That's not going to really appeal to that person at all. They're really going to look at that and kind of shudder, and it's going to kind of scare them off. And knowing what keywords to look for, I can choose which of my styles to use when dealing with someone else. And now it makes me more efficient, it makes me more productive, and it makes it easier for them to do a good job for me. It's what I call working within your brilliances. It's part of why you want to find that thing that you are most passionate about to build your business around. If you can find the thing that's really ingrained in you as a passion, something that gets you so excited that it'll keep you up late at night and wake you up first thing in the morning, you're going to make it easier on yourself to have a business of your own. It's not going to feel like work. Going to feel like you're playing all day long. And sometimes you need that because building a business can be a lot of work without it.
Right.
If you go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, no matter what, whether it's work or play, but there are a lot of things to do. You're becoming a different person as you grow a business. And it's not about what some people, it's hard work. Well, it can be or it can not. It depends on your mindset as to whether it's hard work, but it is a change of becoming a new level of you because of the new level of success that you're attaining. What you're talking about reminds me a lot of the teaching of someone I've never met, but I actually do consider him a mentor because his teachings came to me and were so pivotal in my life, is Joseph Campbell. And he was a noted psychologist. But one of the things he teaches that's based on all the different spiritual and paths of the world and paths of wisdom is follow your bliss, and doors will open where once there were only walls.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And if you really follow your passion, mm-hmm. it will exude from everything that you do. And it will cause you to attract bigger results naturally, because people really get excited when they hear other people being excited.
Right.
If you're not passionate about what you're doing, it's going to come across to other people, and they're not going to be interested in what you've got to offer either.
Right.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Not only do you feel like you're having more fun and not working as hard, but it will cause you to get bigger results naturally.
You'll find that you can very easily and suddenly get involved with people who are sometimes really big players because you are living from your passion and living and working from your strength, and that will always bring you a higher caliber of person, both as a customer, as a possible JV partner. All of those things happen. And the interesting thing is that people have fear, Gina, that they don't know about. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
I was just talking to somebody last night who is the husband of one of my affiliates, and he was talking about writing a book. And he was talking about maybe having it ghostwritten. And I said, you know, I do that and others do that, but I think why you're saying that, my feeling is that you are in a space of feeling fear about the message that you have, and that it's you want it in somebody else's hands because you're trying to allay the fear. And he had not thought about it that way. He had not thought about it, but I could just feel it because we've talked before on the show about developing your voice of the expert and all those kinds of things. Well, if you're in a space of feeling that your message isn't worthy, even if it's a passion, and he is very passionate because when I spoke to him before about this, his message, he was, you could just tell his energy and his voice, everything was there. And then at that moment, though, yesterday, he was in a moment of fear of that message. I think it was really fear of success and fear of the message. And I said, I really would not take you on as a ghostwriting client, even though it would mean it's a big ticket item. It's not, just some old dime store type of thing. It's a big deal. But even if he would pay it, I wouldn't want to take him on. I said, I would rather work with you, help the light bulb go on and help you get through and live inside your own message than take it over for you, even if it would have meant more money.
That's such a great example of people living with fears that they don't realize that they have. And those fears can truly stop you dead in your tracks and keep you from reaching the success that you're looking for, no matter how great you're doing at all the right things. Until you can deal with that underlying belief that's holding you back, you can't move forward, period.
And I said, I could ghostwrite the best book in the world for you. It could be just awesome. It could really hit your message right on the head. But I said, you would never have the level of success with it until we can get you past the fear that you don't even know that you have.
Absolutely. And it can take many different forms. It might be a fear of failure. I've had many students with a fear of failure. they'd had many, many failures in their life. And the idea of moving forward was something that they didn't even realize they were looking at as, oh goodness, am I going to just set myself up to fail again? Well, if that's an issue for you, you've got to deal with it before you can move forward successfully, or you're going to set yourself up, and guess what you're going to attract right back to you? Failure.
Right.
It might even be quite the opposite, and I've had students with this one too, a fear of success, which is an even bigger issue to me than dealing with the fear of failure. For those with the fear of failure, it's a little bit more obvious to them when you do bring it up. For those with the fear of success, it's not always so obvious to them when you bring it up. And for them to even realize that fear of success is the reason that they aren't seeing their success is really challenging. But you've got to stop and look at what could be holding you back. I've had other students who have kind of a misshapen belief about money, I guess would be a good way to say it.
Oh, a lot of people have that.
Oh, big time. This can happen often when you grew up in a family that had a lot of money and now you're out on your own trying to make money and you don't understand money. And so that underlying belief having to do with money looks really weird. We had this discussion last week on this show when we were talking with Jim and Judith, and they were talking about their beliefs about selling and sales.
Right.
And how they were brought up to think that salespeople were from the devil and that selling was the devil's tool. Well, shoot, if you're in a business that relies on sales of any sort, and business is all about selling, right? How are you ever going to see success in that business if you grew up with that idea and that's a part of your belief set?
Right.
Whatever you've got going on, whether it's an underlying belief or an underlying fear or something that's holding you back, until you can address it, you can't move forward. And that's why this mindset issue becomes such a foundational element to actually seeing success in your business. And quite often, it's not that you're doing the wrong things to drive traffic or the wrong things to build a list. It's simply that you haven't dealt with these mindset foundational elements. So no matter what you do, it's just not going to get you the kind of results you're looking for.
And, you know, and I think for everybody, there are different layers of issues to deal with. There are things that come up. I think everybody probably has something that you don't know that you have, some kind of an issue you don't know you have. And so being able to know what it is and move past it, sometimes it's as simple as getting a realization on what's happening, and that helps you go, oh, I know that belief isn't true. I mean, I know people that have had things about money. Let's say that's where people get really tangled up. And I know I've had issues around money too, and it's just like all these things that come up, and you go, oh, I'm tripping over that little thing again in a different way, in a different level. And it's a lot of times just knowing where whatever it is that it's coming from, and you can rationally then say, well, that's clearly not accurate. That's not a positive thing, or there's no need for me to believe that anymore. And it can be as simple as that to let go of it and move on. It doesn't mean you need, like, years of therapy or anything.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, another biggie for folks is the idea of they've got negativity going on in their lives in some way, shape, or form. Most often, the thing that I end up seeing is that people have other people in their lives who are close to them, but those people are very negative. You guys have heard me talk about this on this show also, where when I was sick and dying, really, really sick and dying, it had to do with the negativity that was in my life, particularly negativity coming into my life from other people. And no matter how badly you want to lead a positive life, by allowing those people who are negative in your life, you're actually allowing the negativity in yourself. You can't do anything to change them. You can only change your own actions. And I don't even like the word change. It's a conscious decision that you make, no matter who they are, a parent, a spouse, a child, a sibling. If mm-hmm. they are negative, you need to decide whether or not you want them in your world. And, you know, right before the show started, Rhonda, you and I were talking about this pulled psoas muscle that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where this pulled psoas muscle came from. About a week ago, this started back in September when I was in Niagara Falls. Don't I have any idea? I woke up one morning and I went, ew, that doesn't feel so good. I have this mm-hmm. pulled psoas muscle. I've been dealing with it ever since. Mm. Well, about a week ago, I had a dream. And I've been trying to figure out how the heck could I have pulled this stupid muscle that I didn't know I had. I didn't even know I had a psoas muscle until then.
Yeah, you probably didn't, right.
Let me tell you what. So about a week ago, I had this dream, and in this dream, I learned why I had a pulled psoas muscle. And in the dream, it was my husband, Bill, coming in and telling me where my pulled psoas muscle came from. Well, as all of you know, I don't talk to my mother very often. Right. In September, my mother happened to call me one day, and it wasn't a very nice conversation. In fact, it was kind of a nasty conversation. And I ended up hanging up from that phone call kind of upset. No, very, very upset. And going, oh, I don't want to talk to my mother ever again. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, all this negative garbage that comes out when you're dealing with people who are somewhat negative.
Yes.
The next morning, I woke up with a pulled psoas muscle. Do I know now where my pulled psoas muscle came from? And I didn't even put the two things together until I had this dream a week ago. Now that I have the dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, all my life, since I was a little itty-bitty girl, before I was 19 years old, I had had strep throat 21 times. I was one of the sickest kids in the school. I'm telling you, I was sick all my life. One thing or another, it was always weird stuff, but I was always sick. I know today why I was always sick. And sure enough, even though I chose not to be part of someone else's negativity by answering the phone that day, and I knew who was calling when the phone call came in and said, Mom, sell, I knew whose phone that was. I chose to allow that into my life, and 2 months later, here I am still dealing with the pulled psoas muscle. Now, the pain associated with the pulled psoas muscle can be one of the worst pains you've ever experience. It has been worse than dealing with nine back surgeries.
Wow. But
I will say that since a week ago when I had the dream, my pain has improved about 50%, and it's probably going to take another week or so of working this out of me now that I know where it came from. I now need to deal with those underlying issues that came from having that negativity be a part of my life. It can even manifest. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was saying underlying issues is a great term for the psoas muscle. It's very deep down inside the underside of your torso. We're right in the pelvic floor, and it attaches to the thigh, and it goes all the way deep inside your body. So it's definitely foundational and core for you being that placement on the body.
And I'm telling you, I did this thing with my doctor, who is an integrative medical practitioner, meaning that he is both an MD and someone who does alternative treatments and energy treatments and things like that. About a year ago, we dealt with, what did he call it? I'm trying to remember the term he used. What I would call it is emotional connections that have physical responses. And we had done a series of calls together, or treatments, if you will, where we were looking at buttons. You know how people say, oh, so-and-so could push my button?
Well, right.
If you get into a meditative state, you can actually see physically where your button happens to be. Each of us will feel that button in a different place in our body.
Different part of your body, right.
Mm-hmm. And different people can have different buttons that they push. One person might push a button on you one place, another person might push a button on you in another place. Well, we started looking at where my buttons were. And then we started looking at who could push those buttons and how could those buttons be pushed. And from there, we worked on, okay, what could we do to prevent anyone ever from pushing those buttons? So we worked through a series of things that essentially either eliminated buttons that I had or protected those buttons. Well, silly me, I didn't eliminate all of my buttons. I wasn't able to do that. But I was able to protect those buttons so that people couldn't push them. That day mm-hmm. that I answered that phone call, I didn't shield my button. And sure enough, my button got pushed. And this is the outcome of getting that button pushed. And if you look at where that psoas muscle is, it is exactly where my button is. It is the weirdest thing. And it is so identically placed, it's not even funny. So
interesting.
Even that is part of your mindset, really.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in a place where you are living a life filled with abundant positivity. That's what I call it. Where your language is positive, your actions are positive, the people you are interacting with are positive. So that those things that are negative are no longer a part of your world. Jack Canfield has a book called Living the Law of Attraction, The Key to Living the Law of Attraction. And in this book, he has a really, really great example of what I'm talking about here. He starts talking about the way that people act at various times. And he says, you know, if you really want to live the law of attraction, you have to watch your language. When you sit down at the dinner table with your kids, if you look at Johnny across the table and say, Johnny, now don't you spill your milk, what's going to happen? Johnny's going to spill his milk, inevitably, because you chose to say, Johnny, don't spill your milk. That is negative. That is not positive. You need to look at those things and reframe them in a new light. I know when I used to say to Bill, oh, Bill, don't do that. Sure enough, as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I knew darn well he was going to do that. And he would every time.
Right.
Until I could stop saying, Bill, don't do that, and instead tell Bill what I wanted him to do. When he started saying, Bill, would you do blah? He would do blah every time.
Right.
The minute I was just not paying attention and he got me when I was busy and off doing something else, so I carelessly said, Bill, just don't do it. Sure enough, he'd go and do it anyway. So we've got to learn to shift our language and transform our language from those negative ways of saying things to the positive reinforcing things that you want to attract back. And It takes consciously doing it for a while so that it can become a habit.
But boy, it does
become a habit quickly, usually. Do it for a week or two, and it will become a habit.
And here's a couple of quick examples. I was at a conference, and Michelle, your wonderful assistant, Michelle, and I were rooming, and I had gotten a bottle of water for her, and, you know, most people would say it differently, and I said, oh, Michelle, remember your water. And after that, I realized I hadn't said, don't forget your water, which is kind of how you hear that so much that sometimes that can slip out, like you said, sometimes being busy or distracted or whatever. But I realized, wow, I really had switched things in my mind to have said it just in that way. And I didn't think about it. I just said it that way. And I was talking to my friend Eric Stafford on the phone a few days ago, and he all of a sudden sounded distracted. And I said, oh, what's up? And he said, my son has come to the table with a glass of juice right next to my laptop. And I said, the juice stays in the glass. And because he was about to say, Johnny, and I went, the juice stays in the glass. And he went, can you keep your juice inside your glass for me? Whatever, and that kind of thing. So he said, don't spill your juice on my laptop, because I could just envision this going on in while I was on the phone otherwise. So, you know, I was the juice stays in the glass.
Funny. What a great example, Wanda. What a great example.
Right. And it was funny, and then he said something about, yeah, the juice, stay, keep your juice in your glass instead of don't spill your juice. And so the kid was there for a minute, and then he walked away and went, whew, he walked away from the laptop. And I said, and next time, remember, keep your juice in your glass or whatever. I mean, it was certainly better than saying don't spill it.
Oh, that's too funny. And see, that's the kind of thing that is a mindset shift. And I'm really proud of you to hear that you said, remember your water, Michelle, because more people would say, don't forget your water, Michelle, than would say, remember your water, Michelle.
Yeah, that's how we're all trained since childhood. If your mom wants to tell you, don't forget your lunch, is what she says. She doesn't say, remember to take your lunch box or whatever. She says,
absolutely,
don't forget. So rather than remember in the positive. And so we all have years and years and years of this very subtle unconscious stuff, which is why, and I've slipped too sometimes, like you say, when you're distracted, sometimes you'll say, don't do that or whatever. You know, I do that sometimes too. Sometimes your head's somewhere else, but most of the time, I'm sure as you find as well, it will slip out in the right way that you want in the affirmative.
Well, and it didn't for a long, long time for me. It does today,
right. But
it took years to get it like that.
Right.
Back when I was still sick, it very much would have come out as don't do that before.
Mm-hmm.
That was just an automatic response. Today, it would always come out as remember the whatever, except that I am always multitasking. I know that I can handle six things equally well at any one given moment. I can do six things at a time. It's the seventh that is always the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. Yes, I can relate to that.
If I'm doing an email, and I'm talking on the phone, and I'm instant messaging with three people, that's five right there. Now, maybe I'm doing one other thing. Bill is always my seventh thing. I don't know why that always happens, but he's always the seventh. So what I consciously... Go ahead.
Limit yourself to five things, and then he'll only
that
be the sixth.
That is exactly my solution. Because this was a big issue for us. It was a huge issue for us. For almost a year, poor Bill kept being my seventh thing. And it always ended up me coming out with, Bill, don't do this. And sure enough, that's what I get back. And it was working with Stephanie that I recognized that I could handle multitasking six things. And our easy solution was exactly what you just suggested. Why I didn't think of it, I have no idea. So Stephanie says, man, that's simple. Yeah, Stephanie's like, that's simple. That doesn't even need me. And I'm like, yeah, so what's the solution? Because I can't figure it out. She's like, just do five. Well, ever since then, I've only done five. And I actually have little numbers that I think of what I'm working on to make sure I don't go over five. I know which window is which and there are only five open at a time kind of thing. So that Bill can never be more than the sixth. And I know that I can always maintain that space for him because he's never greater than the sixth. When I know I need to do six things at once without Bill, I simply have to tell him, honey, I'm doing six things now just so you know. And that's all I have to say. And he now knows what that means so that he doesn't come and intrude and be the seventh because he doesn't like that any better than I do.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't want to get rawr at anyone. Who likes that? Nobody does.
Exactly.
He's your seventh thing. And if he's the one thing too many, you know, and I know that. And it's like I know sometimes someone messages me and I'm like, okay, I'm working on a web page. I have two other chats going, and I'm writing an email. When you know you're getting your limit, I'll just say, but I know I'm liable. If you tell me anything that I have to do right now, it could be bad for you. So if you're going to tell me I need to do something, please just wait.
So you need to know enough about yourself to understand where your limits are. Bill happens to be someone that cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. And I'm not being disrespectful to him. He knows this about himself. He cannot multitask at all. If he's doing one thing, he will do it well. But do not ask him to do a second. And I'm not kidding. If he's chewing gum and he tries to walk, he has to stop chewing to walk. Then he can walk, and then when he stops, he can chew again. But he can't do both at the same time. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he knows that about himself, he knows that he can do either chewing gum and he's got to sit down, or he can walk, but he can't do both at the same time. Each of us needs to know what our limits happen to be. Someone else
right.
might be able to do three things at the same time, but not handle the fourth. And when you know where your limits are so that you can work within your strengths and work within what you personally are able to handle, not only are you happier and you become feeling more fulfilled, but those people that you're interacting with feel much better about it too. And it will improve all of your relationships as a result.
Absolutely. And there's no harm in being either the multitasker or the single tasker as long as you know what that is. It's never a put down.
Absolutely.
It's just knowing who you are. You know, Gina, there's something that I often teach, and I actually haven't done a teaching on this in a while. I say, people a lot of times say follow the golden rule. And my personal thing is that's a little bit backwards, and I'll tell you why. Because golden rule means if I like my coffee with cream and Splenda or whatever, then that's how I should serve it to you because that's the way I would want it served to me.
Yes.
The platinum rule, however, says that I should serve you coffee or whatever the way that you would want it so that you, if you like your coffee black, that's how I would serve it to you, not the way I like it, but the way that you like it. And so there's a lot in what you were talking about that when you have this great tool to be able to know about yourself and about the people that you interact with and those kinds of things, it allows you to treat them the way they need to be treated and still keeping really good integrity. And it can keep much better harmony around you because, first of all, you're serving the other person and you're honoring that person by paying attention and being respectful to what it is that they need. It is a really huge, it sounds like semantics, but I'll tell you, Gina, it's a huge difference of mindset.
Well, it is. And if you're serving them the way that they want to be served, one of the other universal laws, we talked about this a long time ago, a little over a year ago on the show, is the law of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
When you give to someone else first, it puts them in the position of wanting to give back to you. So when
right.
you, and this is just one of the laws of the universe. This is the way it works, guys. So when you're
right.
serving someone else the way that they want to be served, guess what they're going to come back and want to do for you? The same thing.
Same thing.
So that
right.
they will come back and serve you just to repay the fact that you served them first the way that they wanted to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up getting so much more in return
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that you took the time to serve them the way that they wanted to be served. And this applies in relationships within your life. It applies equally well with relationships with your customers, too.
Yes.
If you're serving your customers in the same exact way and you're giving them what they want the way that they want it, what are they going to want to do for you?
Oh, they're going to talk about how great you served them. They'll talk to other people. They'll serve you back. They might bring you referrals or buy other things or whatever because they'll want to be as good to you. And when you ask them what they want and how they want it and can serve it up to them in that way, it makes a huge difference. And it's one reason I love asking customers, well, if I'm going to do this new product, I can do it this or that way. Which way do you like it? And, you know, get some ideas from people or ask someone how they prefer, you know, whatever. And it really makes a big difference.
It's huge. And so it makes you want to do even more when you really understand how this works. It's
right.
in part the law of attraction, but it's also in part the law of reciprocity. And there are a number of these universal laws that are very fundamental and very foundational that is the way that the universe works. It's what we
mm-hmm.
call quantum physics. There is a science behind it. It happens that way for a reason. And you can't change it. It's the way things work. You can't change it any more than you could change the law of physics or the law of gravity. If you're on this earth, things fall to the ground. It's the law of gravity. And it works that way every single time. And the laws of the universe are no different. They're not some woo-hoo airy-fairy kind of thing. They are truly scientific. And you need to treat them as a science and abide by those scientific rules the same way that you would abide by the law of gravity or any of the other scientific principles that we have here on Earth.
That is really true. And it's, you know, I mean, it's just really interesting. There are a lot of times people will think, oh, well, that's just a belief, like it doesn't have any basis in reality. But when you really take a look at things, you'll notice that things really do work that way. There is a like-to-like attraction. I mean, that's just that's how it is. It's the same thing if you, you know, yell at your spouse. Well, they're going to probably want to, their first reaction would be to give you back in kind what you just dished out. So it's it's nothing that's airy-fairy. It's just a very simple type of a thing to realize. It's part of how the world works, just as a sunflower turns toward the sun. I mean, that's it. It's that type of thing.
And if you look at people who are wealthy and people who are successful, they are the people that didn't look at this as just some belief system. They are the people that really treated this as a science and used it to get where they are today. And I don't think that there are very many exceptions to that rule. If you look at those people who are successful or who are wealthy, just about every single one of them have used these principles to grow in their own life. There's a great product out, a great book called The Master Key. And it's a book that both Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey consider as being the reason for their success. It's a product that is now in the public domain, and it's part of my Miracle Motivational Package. The Master Secret Key is all about the laws of the universe, and it's something that I would like to one day sit down and reorganize because the way that it's organized is somewhat overwhelming. I would love to take the time to redo it and do a better organization, because what it could easily become is a series of lessons that take place over a 60-day period. I just haven't taken the time to do it. But at least go and take a look at it inside of the Miracle Motivational Package, which you can find at www.abundantpositivity.com. It is every one of those laws of the universe that are scientific. Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey just simply really use those laws and those principles in the biggest way possible, just like someone who really understands physics could use it to go to the moon. It's
Ann, the minute you said the master key and we're talking about it, and I have not delved deeply into that, but something ticked in my brain, and what I was writing down is make a product out of the master key system. So.
Oh, you know, I would love to talk to you about that, Rhonda. Because I know of a couple of different people that sell that product for as much as $47. And they really haven't done much more other than updating the language to it, because it is in the public domain. You can do that kind of thing with it. And that's nice. But, boy, to turn it into a series of 60 days worth of lessons, I mean, it's perfectly designed for that kind of thing, so that people could really have 60 days to digest all of it. And over that 60 days, it's set out where each lesson builds upon the prior lesson would just make so much sense to me.
Right.
There's a great movie that I bet you've seen, Rhonda. Have you ever seen the movie called What the Bleep?
Yes, and so much of it, there was no talking that I found it hard to follow in places.
Oh, but yeah, I bet you would, wouldn't you?
I was sitting there going, okay, I mean, I think I probably got a good deal of it through osmosis or whatever, but I found it very hard to follow because there's a deaf person.
Oh, for you, it would be.
I can't read subtitles on the screen, so yeah, I'm just sitting there
The parts that were no talking had nothing to do with subtitles. That wasn't what it was. The movie stars Marlee Matlin, who's deaf. Right. And it's an exploration of Marley Matlin trying to understand the laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. And a good portion of the movie really looks at this exhibit that had these, they were water pictures, I guess you'd call them. They were images of water that were being affected by the laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. And during the parts where you couldn't hear anything going on, they were displaying these images where you could really see the effects of different things in these pictures. And it was like mind-blowing by how huge these effects would be. And they were looking at a lot of different things in these images. I really, really wanted to be able to play that movie this weekend during the Mindset Workshop. And unfortunately, I couldn't get the right to do that without buying a copy of it for every person in the workshop. And I was like, no, that's not going to work. That just didn't seem good to me. But that's one of my biggest recommendations from this weekend, is I really want folks to go out and get that movie. You can rent it at Netflix. You can even take out a trial at Netflix and watch it on your computer screen so you don't have to pay for anything, which was what I was hoping to do, was just to grab it from Netflix and display it, but you can't do it for commercial purposes. So I tried to get the license, and it just didn't work. Otherwise, I could always spend $10,000 to buy the license, but that didn't seem to go over well with me either.
No, but you can recommend it, and especially if you tell the participants ahead of time, hey, you know, you can get a 14-day free trial of Netflix, even if you decide you don't want it. Just get it, watch that movie and whatever else you want, and then, you know, decide if you want to keep it, but you can. I think if I can actually watch it on my own computer or TV, it'll be better because I can either pause it or whatever, as opposed to sitting back in, you know, a theater further enough away that I couldn't tell a lot of what exactly. I saw images, and I'm going, okay. I didn't even know what a lot of it was because of that. But that just...
I bet you, now when you say that, I wouldn't have even thought about that, but you are so right, because so much of it really was built into those images. And there's a sequel to it called Down the Rabbit Hole. I didn't find Down the Rabbit Hole as enlightening as I found What the Bleep. It was kind of a continuation of the same. From What the Bleep, I had so many aha moments. It was just incredible. Down the Rabbit Hole, it was kind of old hat to me by then. And maybe it was just... maybe. The Secret I had seen before I saw either of these movies. And The Secret was okay. The first time I saw it, it was okay. I liked it. I heard the message, but I didn't get the message. And when I then saw What the Bleep, I went, oh, now I get the message. And then I had to go back and listen to The Secret all over again. And then I really got the message.
I often tell people to watch The Secret every day for 7 days.
I usually do the same thing, because watching it once is certainly not enough. I've seen it more than 24 times. It takes watching it repeatedly to truly get all of the elements out of it.
And even if you have seen it and you get it, you know, there's always a new level, if you will, of getting it. There's always hearing that maybe the same message, and all of a sudden something in your life triggers you to have a realization. You know, there's another movie. I think if we were to have a movie, what do you call it when you go to a series of movies, movie-thon or whatever, would be The Secret and What the Bleep, and then The Celestine Prophecy. Have you seen that one?
Oh, I have. Good suggestion. You are right.
Yep.
And the book by the same name, The Celestine Prophecy, is also equally good.
Yes. The Celestine Prophecy, The Agilis, and it caused me to think of what I named my company, actually, which is Amplified Win. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie about everybody working from their strengths, and the one with the strongest intuition leads, and everybody working together and holding the vision. And in holding the vision, if you hold it strongly enough, you can really block out an amazing amount of negativity, and there are just so many wonderful mindsets.
The reason I like the book, The Celestine Prophecy, better than the movie is because if you go through the book can actually become kind of a workbook that you can follow and actually do step one and then go to step two and then go to step three. And I guess that's kind of why I really like Jack Canfield's The Key to Living the Law of Attraction so well. It's a book that I have written in almost every single page of. It's meant to be written in. It literally has blanks for you to write in. It is more of a workbook than a book. It's one that you could read in one sitting, but then you have to go back and rework all of the things so that it walks you through doing things like identifying your dreams, then using your dreams to outline your goals, and then putting together what I call your bucket list, like the 100 things or 101 things you want to do before you die that are kind of even bigger than your goals. And it walks you through all of the things that you need to do in order to be able to live the law of attraction. And that's why it's called The Key to Living the Law of Attraction. And to me, that book is Jack Canfield's absolute best work. I think it is so much better than any of his Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And I've read a number of them. But those are not books that Jack wrote. Those are books that Jack edited. This is one that he actually wrote. And to me, that's the big difference. I really, really wanted to meet Jack Canfield at the SANG event, and he's the one person I didn't get to meet. I was very, very disappointed in not meeting him because what I wanted to say to him, and I don't know, maybe he'll hear this broadcast at some point. What I really wanted to say to him was, I know that people know you for Chicken Soup for the Soul, but I think people really should know you even more for The Key to Living the Law of Attraction. That book totally changed my life. And
I have to get it. I haven't read that one yet.
And I bought it at, like, Meijer's grocery store. It wasn't even weird. Isn't that weird? I happened to see it in the checkout line one day back when I was still sick. And I bought the book, really didn't even read the book until after I had met this massage therapist in Sedona, and she had told me this big secret about getting rid of the negativity. And during my investigation of, okay, what does that mean and how do I do it, I had come across an article that Jack had written about the same exact topic. And I went, oh, I've got that book somewhere. And I had to go dig it out. And it was then that I decided to go through and I actually started working the workbooks, worksheets within the book and whatnot. And that led me on this journey to starting to explore lots of other things, which then pointed me in the direction of Dr. Jill Amann-Wexler, another one of the big people that had major, major impact on my life. And I wanted to tell Jack how much of an effect it had on me, but I didn't get to meet him. So hopefully,
I hope you'll have that chance. You will at some point.
I am certain that I will.
Yes.
You know, not to change the subject and get off the topic of mindset, but did you hear the major announcement that came out last week?
I don't know.
Oprah Winfrey is retiring in 2 years.
That major announcement. Yes, I heard that one. I did. So anyone that has dreams of getting on Oprah, you've got about a year and a half to do it.
That is exactly why I mentioned it. So if that's on your bucket list or one of your goals lists, it is time to start getting started with these foundational elements like mindset so that you can do it soon. You know, I say this often too, but it's unfortunate that I had to wait to come square in the face of death to learn these major life lessons. And I know myself well enough to know that it really did take something that major for me to learn these lessons. And a big part of why I teach what I teach today is because I don't want other people to have to come that close to death to have the opportunity to learn these lessons. If I had not gotten sick and I had not gotten that close to dying, I don't think I ever would have learned these lessons.
Probably not, because that was your hero's journey. That was your road of trials that brought you to the new place that you're in so that you could share the message.
I would gladly go through all the pain that I endured, all the operations that I endured, and all the tremendous suffering that I endured, as long as I could come out of it every time with this newfound knowledge, because it's that huge.
Mm-hmm.
It really is that huge. Yeah, I had goals before. Yeah, I had a system for setting goals and attaining goals. No matter how much I did that stuff, it still really didn't give me what I would call the life of my dreams. I did not ever have a point where I could look at every single day for a year and know that every single day for that whole year was happy until I had to come square in the face of death. Today, I could actually look back at the last year and say pretty much every single day was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big statement. I don't think that there are very many people that could say that.
No, there aren't. Many people would be grousing about me or this or that or the other thing in their life and would not be happy just because.
And that's the thing. It has absolutely nothing to do with money. You would think it would, but it doesn't. It really has absolutely nothing to do with the stuff that I have either. In fact, most of the stuff that I had, I gave away. Willingly gave away. I guess you could say I sold it, but it was really I gave it away. I really only have the things that are in the bus, and that's it. I had this antique book collection that I used to cherish. Oh, every single book was so important, and I had to have new books in it. So what? It was stuff. I had all this china and all this crystal and my gold flatware, and I really made sure that I had the perfect pattern and the perfect this and the right number of place settings. So what? I had a bunch of antique furniture that I used to think was like a really big deal. It's just more stuff. The things that matter are really not the stuff that money can buy, and it's really not even the money. It's what you do in your life and the people that you can serve and the people that you can have around you. That's what makes life happy, and that's what lets me look back and my whole last year and pretty much say that every day was happy. On those few days where something cropped into my day that made me feel less than happy, if I chose to look at it as being less than happy, the rest of the day would be miserable. If I chose to look at that and shift what I perceived, which is not that challenging to do, guys, I could turn that unhappiness into a very, very blissful day.
Yep. It's a choice and a shift of awareness and has nothing to do with overt circumstances.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rhonda, having you in my life has really helped to reinforce that for me. Because you are someone that, no matter what, you are always happy. In fact, sometimes you're almost too happy. But you're happy just because you can be.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
And it becomes contagious. And that's why I say sometimes you're almost too happy, because it is contagious. No matter how bad you feel, if you just come in contact with you, that happiness takes over and you cannot get past it. It has to happen. And that's such a blessing to have you be a part of my world because of that.
Well, I thank you. Thank you. You are a blessing to me, and I do truly appreciate you, and we don't get to talk very often except on the show, seems like, or on calls, but I appreciate so much everything that you bring, your energy and your passion, and if anybody who has ever been a student of yours or whoever will be can't get and pick up on your level of passion and commitment. They're definitely not paying attention, because it's really, truly wonderful to be around people such as yourself who love what you're doing so much and really invest yourself into the people that you're serving in the way that you do.
And the same is really true of you, not to interrupt, but the thing that tickles me so much, and I get off of some of our calls together with other students where I am actually chuckling to myself out loud because of you.
Oh.
You are so much the story lady.
Yeah,
it is a part of who you are. And it's not that you're intentionally trying to put something into the conversation. It happens naturally. Every part of you is all the story lady. When we talk about being authentic and living your passion, you are the epitome of being authentic and living your passion simultaneously. People who spend a half an hour with you have to immediately feel how important stories are, just because that's a part of who you are in such a huge way. You could not excise that from you at all. That is so much a part of you. And it's really neat to see it. It's a great living example of what it means to live your passion and be authentic.
Wow. Well, what a mutual admiration society we've got going here.
I know. You really do, don't we?
Yeah. It's just awesome.
Well, I think anyone coming into contact with either one of us would really have great examples of what an abundant mindset, abundant success-oriented mindset really looks like, that they could easily emulate. Because it both of us are all about that. And I know that that has really been the key to your success. Can I kind of toot your horn a little bit more?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, go ahead.
So about a year and a couple of months ago, you left a position that you had with someone else's company to really start growing your own as a focus for you. And in that year, you have had some pretty good success, I think, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And I really believe that that has everything to do with your mindset. Everything to do with your mindset. The biggest shift for you, I think, came in leaving that other company. It eliminated a big source of negativity that you had in your life. And I really believe that that was holding you back for a while. That had that not been there, you would have reached this level of success much sooner. And in the last 14 to 15 months that I've been watching you, I have seen different things that really say that you really are in your element, and it's a shame that you couldn't have gotten there sooner. But the way that you interact with other people, they clearly know as soon as they meet you that you are an expert, and it allows doors to open for you that could never have been opened without it. You can walk up to anyone, no matter how quote-unquote big they are or how much of a quote-unquote guru that they are, and talk to them at their level because you are an expert and you have the voice of the expert down. Mm-hmm. And with that success-oriented, abundant mindset that you have, with the attitude of serving that you have, doors will open automatically. And it's exactly... Go ahead.
They do. They do open automatically. The interesting thing, Gina, when I was in working for the other individual for his company, I probably stayed as long as I did because of some of the clients and how much I cared for them. But the individual in question, it really felt like my having that voice of authority was coming across holier than thou. And one time I said, oh, you're just jealous. And I went, oh, I should have said that. But it slipped out before I could rein it back in.
Oops. Not good.
Well, that one slipped out the engagement.
But one of the things that happened was by being in the role that you were in, it had to keep you small. You didn't have the authority to go with that voice of the expert that was inside of you. And so subconsciously, I'm sure that had to be a disconnect for you.
Yeah, it really was, especially because the person had started off being much more of a serving mindset, and greed kind of took over, and that was a disconnect for me because I really have to wholeheartedly support whatever it is that I'm doing, and I supported the clients in their efforts very much, but it was became very hard to support the person with the way that he was running the company because of how much greed had taken over and some things, the way that I saw people being treated and stuff. So, yeah, it was.
Well, it's a good lesson for others to hear because whether you're still in a job or whether you're trying to do some freelance work but you're working for other people, it will keep you small in terms of your voice. Even when I was being a JV broker to other people, I was very much in a subservient role, I guess you would say. I was a behind-the-scenes kind of person because that's the nature of a JV broker. I couldn't be in the forefront and shining the way that they were. And yet it was my brains and my skills that were causing them to be who they became. And it was very much the same thing with the role that you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to be true to yourself and you really want to use your personality and your values or your personality style and your values so that you can truly be within your brilliances, then you need to find a way to bring yourself to the forefront. If that means leaving a job, even though there's less security initially, it means you need to do that. Because until you can do that, until you can put yourself out there as the front foreground of I am the expert, no one will really give you the credit that so many people are looking for. And I think even the person you were talking about who was interested in the book that they wanted to put a message out there needs to hear that, because having a ghostwriter write that book for him is going to keep him in that back of the room kind of role.
Right. And what he has is an important message, and I frankly said I wouldn't do it for him. And I, you know, again, that would that have meant money? Yes, absolutely. But anyone has to realize when you're the expert, it's not that you're the one, you know, in front of the firing squad as to whether someone will take your services. It's you really choosing who you're going to work with and for why. And so it doesn't matter if the amount, even if he had said, oh, I'll throw $100,000 at you to do this for me or whatever, it wasn't about that. It was about, nothing I could have done would have made him successful because he was trying to shrink from his life.
And no amount of money would have made it worth it for you to do it.
No, absolutely not.
Out there serving other people, just like we were talking about before, if you're truly out there serving people, you need to be serving them the way that they want to be served. And you would actually be doing him a disservice in taking that job. You would not be serving anyone.
Right. And, yeah, and that's really true. That, he thinks that he wanted me to serve him in that way, perhaps, or at least that he wanted to consider it. But what he does, you know, didn't realize is I would have done him a disservice and a dishonor to his message because I can't speak his message the way that he can.
Right.
Yeah, can I? Sure. I mean, yes, I can put on anybody's voice and do that, of course. But, I mean, not really to make him successful in everything he needed to do, because it's not ever only about a book or a single product. It's about your whole business, and I can't be his whole business for him.
Let me give you another really interesting example of this. I was on a coaching call earlier this morning. It was a guy who has a new product, his very first, getting ready to open its doors, and the product is one that targets people who are either in debt or having credit challenges or who are interested in building wealth. And he had found a way to rent a list of 5 million people for practically nothing. It was less than $200. And he could do a mailing to 5 million people for under $200. And he was all excited because he had just put together this deal to get this mailing out there, and he was all excited about it. And I said, okay, so tell me about the mailing. Well, the whole product, the way that he's put it together, is all about serving people. And in part, the message within the product is also very similar about serving. Well, he went out and targeted a business opportunity seeker's audience. And the message that he created was so sales-oriented and so hype-filled. He had put a quiz together that asked a series of questions, but the answers to the questions became things like, I choose to seek coaching for my indebtedness. Well, again, it's very sales-oriented, right? It's not a quiz that's going to tell you much about whether or not you need help with getting out of debt or whether you need help in building wealth. It's very sales-oriented. It's going to turn people completely away so that they don't even finish the quiz, much less actually look at the product that he's got.
You can feel the buy button.
Absolutely, you can. And yet he's talking about serving these 5 million people. Well, you need to be true to your message, too. And this is very much a part of mindset. If he had sat back and really been solid in his abundant success-oriented mindset, that message would have been very different. The quiz would have been very different. And he would never have gone out to target that particular audience. He picked that audience because he thought they had money to spend, not because it was the right audience for serving with this product. So all of these are types of issues that you need to address first so you can even figure out who you're going to serve, how you're going to serve them, and then you can go out and be consistent in doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it really does, and that's excellent. Anytime that there is a mismatch in communications and intent, and it includes, it doesn't matter. Some people would drool just the thought of a list of 5 million. It only matters if it's the right type of group of people.
And that was really where he was coming from. He was drooling at the thought of having a list of 5 million. And when I started doing the math for him and I started showing him that this list of 5 million would probably not amount to more than 500, maybe 1,000 opt-ins tops for a free offer, that's when he started realizing, oh, maybe I do need to do things different. And if he could do things differently and really go out with an attitude of serving to the right audience, with the right message, and still reach the 5 million, instead of getting maybe 500 to 1,000 opt-ins out of 5 million people, he'd end up with more like 5,000 to 7,000 opt-ins from the 5 million people. Big difference between those two numbers and what they can bring for you on an ongoing basis if you consider that in the internet world, a subscriber list is usually worth about $1 per month per subscriber. 500 versus 5,000 is a very different size list when you think about it in those terms.
Yes, yes, it definitely is. It's a huge difference.
And that is really, really the whole reason that you go through some of the thought processes and the analysis of what your goals are and what your dreams are and what your passions are. It's so that you can come to the point of figuring out how you can serve other people. I hear so often when I start talking about joint ventures more than anything else, oh, well, I don't have anything to offer anybody. Every person on this planet has something to offer. And if you're really clear, you got it. If you're really
clear, no waste.
You got it. If you're clear on who you are and what your strengths are, what your brilliances are, where you are an expert, what your goals are, now you can better formulate how you can serve other people. The business part of it is simply the implementation of that. It's just the mechanics of it. Until you can get to that point, why are you in business in the first place? You're really just going out there either being a hype-filled salesperson where you really aren't giving any value, or you're going out there in a way that, well, it's not really making the world a better place to live at all. And that's right. Why I so often say that building a business is really a perfect opportunity to make a difference in this world. If you've really gone through the analysis of who you are and what your strengths are and what type of expert you are and how you're going to serve people, by design, you are going to make the world a better place to live because yes. You are giving value in everything that you do. No matter whether you're giving something away for free or whether you're selling something, you're still changing the world by the value that you are bringing to it.
Absolutely.
That's why a business is a perfect vehicle for leaving a legacy in your life. The message that you put out there becomes your legacy. The service that you do becomes your legacy. It's a perfect vehicle for using to get into the idea of social entrepreneurship and really making a difference in whatever way you want to make a difference. All of us can envision the world being a better place. It takes those people who are willing to sit down and really work through this analysis for themselves to get their abundant success-oriented mindset formed. It takes those people to really go out and do something about making the world a better place.
Right. I want you to let people know where they can sign up for the workshop. It is in the show notes, of course. But let's
Thank
tell
you.
People where they can sign up.
It is at www.askggg.com/mindset. Again, that's www.askggg.com/mindset. And I'm doing things a little bit different for this workshop than I've done in the past. I wanted to try this out. Vince Tan just finished running the biggest fire sale ever, number two, and it gave me an idea about what I wanted to do with this workshop. I started the pricing out at only $77 to get in on this weekend workshop. Now, all of the other weekend workshops have been anywhere from $197 to $247. This one started at only $77. Every couple of days, the price has increased. So I don't know what the price will be when you go there, but the price
will be... I know what it is now, but...
it will be at its lowest price ever, again, when you get there, because the price will be going up until December 5th when we start the workshop, when it will top out at its maximum price. The only way you can get it at less than that price would be a week from today, next Tuesday, December 8th, when we get ready to open our doors on the Christmas Greetings giveaway. And next Tuesday on this show, I will let you know how you can get in on all of the great, wonderful gifts that we'll have as part of the Christmas Greetings giveaway. It's going to be a self-improvement giveaway, which has got me excited again because it's an opportunity for people to really get the products that they need to help make 2010 their best year ever. And that's going to be the theme of this weekend's Mindset Systems Workshop is let's get you ready to make 2010 your best year ever. And I mean that in so many more ways than just monetarily. I want you to have 2010 be your best year ever in terms of your happiness quotient, in terms of living the life of your dreams and in your relationships, and maybe in your money too, but in all those other ways as well. So again, that's www.askggg.com/mindset. And Rhonda, I don't know about you, but I've had more fun on today's show than I've had in a number of our shows. So thank you so much for helping us to have so much fun today on this show. And we'll be back next It is. We'll be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I wish you guys the most abundant success-oriented mindset. And, you know, my favorite phrase is winners take imperfect action while losers are still perfecting the plan. Do something now to help make 2010 your best year ever. And we'll see you all next week at Tuesday at noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks so much, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.